Somebody give them honor. Somebody give them glory. Somebody give them honor in this place right now. Somebody praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody, anybody, I know it may be tough, but somebody praise God. I don't know about you, but God is still sitting on the throne. God is still loving us. And he'll never stop. Amen. 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 And amen. There's a word from the Lord. Our scriptures have been read, but I will share for anybody watching, anybody who is here who may not have heard our scripture. Our scripture comes from Acts 16, starting at verse 22 through 40. And we also read Genesis verses starting in verse 39 through the end. And I'll just read a piece for those that may have just came in or just tuned in. And I'll just really paraphrase that 39th chapter. We're in a phase where at this point, Joseph had been elevated in Potiphar's house. He had been elevated in Potiphar's house. And then as he worked there, it said the man was in shape. He was in shape. Said, the man looked good. The man looked good. And the wife looked at him and said, yeah, come to bed with me. And he's like, no, not getting down with that. You know, I run everything. He said, I'm more powerful than any and everybody in here, with the exception of the man that owns this here house. And so essentially, he, remember, Joseph, in the midst of his journey, he was a little boisterous. And I believe at that moment, he was letting her know, I'm even more powerful than you. And so in that, he ended up getting set up. And he got set up, and he ends up getting thrown in prison for something that he did not do. Our parallel text that we're going to be using comes from Acts, and there's Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas were gathered, and when they were gathered, they were beaten. They were flogged. And what happens is they weren't just beaten and left. They were beaten and put into a prison. They were beaten and put into a prison. And once they were beaten, once they were put into a prison, what happens is this. They're stuck there, just like Paul, stuck there. Just like us right now, sometimes we feel like we're in a prison even when we're supposed to be free. We're living in a time where it seems like we're watching the black and white film in color. And when you seem to watch what your parents went through, when it seems like you're living through what your grandmother thought they made it through, when I just came from, I have my I Am AME shirt on because I just came from our general conference. It's our 50th quadrennial session of the annual conference. It's the 50th because it's been 200 years. We're the oldest African-American church that's been around for 200 years. Now, here's the thing. We started because where we were praying in St. George, we weren't allowed to pray. And Absalom Jones and others were lifted up off their knees for praying in the church. And so at that point, Richard Allen looked back and some folks got together and said, you know what, we need our own vine and fig tree. We need our own place because we don't need to go through this because we want to worship God. Amen. That's how our church was started. But here it is, 200 years later. And they marched out of St. George 200 years ago. And this Thursday, they marched to Mother Bethel, the first church, the first AME church. So here it is 200 years later, and we're still marching. So you say, how are we free? But the reality is, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the tears you shed, regardless of the mothers that look at their sons and worry, regardless of wives that look at their husbands, regardless of people that look at their brothers, and the reality is, it's not just brothers you got to look at, because don't forget Sandra Bland. And the reality is, I can never forget Sandra Bland, because Sandra Bland was much like me. She was much like you. She went to an AME church. Sandra Bland was much like all of us. Sandra Bland was someone that would get on and post about the injustices that she saw. And here it is. Where is her justice? When will it come crying? When will it come flooding in like a water? I don't know when it's going to come flooding in. But one thing that I realize is that maybe I can glean from the people in the text. And maybe I can glean from some others that who have went through. Maybe I can glean from a South African president, Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years incarcerated due to racial injustice. And there's a few things I like to share that a few quotes that I have from them, because sometimes it feels impossible in the situation you're in. When is this going to be over? When are we just going to be? Because our promotion is not asking to be better than. Our promotion is asking for equal ground. But I see that Nelson Mandela had an answer for the impossible. He said it always seems impossible until it's done. It always seems impossible until it's done, but he didn't stop there. He said, difficulties break some men, but make others. I said, difficulty breaks some men. It breaks some women. It breaks some children, but it makes some other folks. I believe it made a cop down in North Carolina, a cop who just got enough, said enough is enough, and regardless of how I know that there's a system of blackballing individuals, it's all right. You stand with me right now, and we're going to go ahead and preach this together. And what happened in that moment is that she stood up and she spoke her mind. She spoke her mind because she had a son who wants to go down to Louisiana to go to college, and she looked at her son and she got infuriated because she knows what it's like to make a split second decision. She's had people to come at her with knives and to come with weapons. And she said, I looked at it and she said, I could have did it differently. So this is not to bash police, but this is to say to keep the faith. This is to say that in the midst of it all, you got to be willing to keep your faith. So the first thing you need to know is you got to keep your faith. Nelson Mandela kept the faith, and after 27 years of prison, he came out as a president. I can look at Joseph, and Joseph, who didn't do a single thing, got thrown into prison, but even though he went into prison, he trusted God. What are you going to be able to do? What are you going to hold on to in your tough moments? And you say, you know what? I haven't really got into all of this, but I just want you to know that if my brother is hurting, then I am hurting too. If my sister is in pain, then I am hurting too. If folks are crying and going through grief, I'm going to grieve with them. And I'm going to grieve for everybody. I'm not just going to grieve for, and I'm rolling into my second point, aren't I? I'm rolling into my second point, but my first thing I want to leave you with is it doesn't matter how hard it is, how difficult it is, how inundated you may be by constantly watching and constantly seeing some things, but I need you to understand that there's a purpose in all of it, because we cannot forget. Our Jewish brothers would teach us a lot, because they will not allow a single person to ever forget the Holocaust, and I don't blame them. Thank you for making sure that people know about the Holocaust. I'm going to make sure that I will always open up my mouth and let people know the atrocities that we've been through in this here country that I still love. It's an American thing. It's American history. And I'm not going to whitewash it. I'm not going to erase it. It is what it is. You know, sometimes me and my wife may have a disagreement, but the fact that we had a disagreement doesn't mean that I don't love her. The fact that I may cut up sometimes and she had to whoop me in on. At least she tried to. It doesn't change the fact that we still love one another. So the fact that you speak out and you speak your faith and you believe that God can do it better for us, that does not negate the fact that you are completely American. Amen? Amen. But there's some other things I want to share with you, because the second thing I want you to know is I want you to know that you got to keep your integrity. You need to keep your integrity. We were able to see in the midst of all that has went on in our week, some folks were fed up. They said enough is enough, and they went out and they did some things which were awful. They took the lives of some police officers, which is terrible. I need to let you know that the AME church, at least this one, not just this one, the whole AME church, I just came from the general conference where they condemned the murder of black and brown lives, and they condemned the murder of those that wear the shield. We just condemn murder, because murder ain't never been right. As much as you can look at it, our children right now are in the Ten Commandments. I don't know about you, but that's number five. You asked me one the other, and I'm like, oh, let me go back to the chart. But number five, thou shalt not kill. I just want you to be able to keep your integrity, because Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King says darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And it took me to a place in my journey. I remember when I was living, I was out there. I was living a lifestyle that wasn't good. And one of my buddies, one of my good buddies, God bless him. God bless him. I believe he's in heaven now. He came to me one day on a Friday and said, "Hey, man, I'm about to get my life together. I done re-enrolled in college. I'm going back. I'm going to get out the streets. I'm not doing any of this foolishness." And we went to college together. But on Tuesday, I got a knock on the door. I got a call from somebody and said, "Yo, you need to check it out. I heard our buddy's dead." And I found out that he had died, and I talked to a friend, and I said, "Man, I can't get past the guilt. I can't get past the guilt that, you know, I didn't do anything to bring him out. If anything, I probably wasn't the greatest influence in his life. And how can I get past? I can still hear his mother's cry." And she said, "You was in the dark. Ain't nothing in the dark bring anything to the light. You can't feel condemnation for what you didn't know. You didn't know yourself. You weren't walking in the light yourself. But I challenge you that if you're in the light, let your words be light. Don't let your words be hate because you're in pain. We all hurting. We all feeling anguish. We all are stressed. We're all stressed out. But at the end of the day, we got to operate in love. We are love, AME. And let me tell you that love never fails. Love will always win. Love will always conquer. Love will always finish first, even when it feels like we're finishing last. I just need you to see with another set of eyes, amen? And the third thing I want you to know, and let me deal with that, keep your integrity from the text and from both texts. When we look at Joseph and we realize that he went there, he got thrown in a prison, but it says that God was with him and he did and what he needed to do. He didn't go and cause he didn't go and just say, "Well, you know what, God, I'm giving up on you. I'm throwing in the towel because here it seems like life just keeps passing me bad chips. Life keeps giving me the other end of the stick." Amen. But the reality is, he kept his hand in God's hand. Paul and Silas, after being beaten, I'm talking about real brutality from those guards, which is the same. They dealt with police brutality all the way back then. And here it was, they were innocent. They hadn't done a thing. I don't know about you, but there was a couple brothers we just saw in their incidents. They hadn't done a thing to deserve what happened to them in these moments. And so here they are in this moment. Here they are, and they had did everything they were supposed to do. But I find that sometimes those around don't keep their integrity. I find that sometimes those that want to never change gun laws, those that rally like the NRA that will jump out in seconds after the police die, but won't jump out when Castillo died, who has with Philando, and he is licensed, and he did have a license, and he had a concealed license permit, but you haven't came and condemned it. Even your own members are calling your card. They're saying you're not real. But I just need you to know, if we can learn from Paul and Silas, they understood the power of prayer. Because they were in there, feet were in the stocks, they were sore, they were hurting, they were in pain, wasn't nobody treating their wounds, they were in an old-timey prison, they were in a terrible condition, but even in that situation, they went and they prayed, and it said they sung hymns to God, they sung hymn after hymn, and prayer after prayer, and before you know it, there was an earthquake. There was a shaking taking place. And I believe right now there's a shaking taking place. And right now America is being shook up. The world is watching. People are watching all over the globe. And there's a shaking going on. And the shaking is taking us out of the jail, taking us out of the prison. And here's the reality. You got to maintain integrity even when your freedom is dead. Because they had freedom, but they could have walked out. They could have let them kill themselves, but they even came back and ministered to the one. God, it's a powerful thing when you can minister to the one that did the atrocity. It's a powerful thing when you can go and minister to that one. But when he went, that man gave his life to Christ. That man went and he made it, took him to his family, fed him right there. What did you think it said in your favorite Psalm 23? "I will prepare a table for you in the presence of thine enemies." And don't you know that when you get to know some folks, they don't have to be enemies. They can be friends. And sometimes we just got to get the fear out of the way, and you got to cross some bridges. I've been blessed in this time. In the past week, I met a Chinese family, and we were able to sit and dine and chop. I see Joseph. Yeah, I seen y'all on Facebook. We chopped it up and ate some good fried chicken. We ate some mac and cheese and some collard greens. I did that while I was in Philly. Yes, I did. And it was a wonderful time, but we were able to talk and have prayer, and we held hands and prayed together. Don't you know that it's not about the skin condition, it's about the human condition. And when we get wrapped up in the human condition, then we can let our love pour out. Then we can get to where we need to be. Encouragement. I need you to know that the first point was that you need to keep your faith. The second point was that you need to keep your integrity. And the third thing is that you need to keep in mind that God has not forgotten. God has not forgot. I'm going to tell you that God has not forgot. I'm going to tell you how I know that God has not forgot. Because even while Joseph was set up, he was set up. You know he was set up. You know it stank. We saw that in Rosewood. It was set up. They've been blaming brothers for a long time because they wanted him. But here it is. He's in prison. But here it is. He's supposed to be the prisoner. Yeah, he's the one that they wanted to label as an inmate. Nah, I don't believe he took them titles. I don't believe that he wore those titles. I believe that he wore the title that I'm a child of God. I'm a man of God. I'm called. I am the favorite of God. I am a preacher. I am his. Oh, anybody realize that you don't have to wear a title just because you're placed in a place? Just. Let it change you. Change those around you. And just like Mandela said, it only seems impossible until it's done. And we're able to see that in this text that it was done, because here it is. They put him there for prison. But what happens? He ended up being in charge of every other prisoner. Oh, and not only that, it said he was in charge of every single thing that went on in the prison. Sounds like me, like he was the warden. Sounds like me, like he ran things. Sounds to me like he ended up the eighth brother in charge. This text with Paul and Silas, and it reminded me of Castillo, because what he did was he went through what he went through, and his wife, his girlfriend, spoke up for him. You know what she said? Philando, that you just shot, he's a Roman citizen. I mean, American citizen. I mean, a U.S. citizen. I mean, somebody who pays their taxes. I mean, somebody that works hard. Somebody that ain't out here causing foolishness. Somebody that abided by your rules. Somebody that went downtown and filled out the application. Somebody that went and got the permit. Somebody that told you that they had the gun. Somebody that went and reached for their wallet when you told them to give them your identification. So, no. We're not leaving out of here silently. We're not leaving out of here and just going to walk away. Now that you say, oh yeah, this was right. This shouldn't have went down like that. You're not going to, you did this public. You're not going to escort me out the back door. So I need you to know, it was that spirit that was in Emmett Till's mother. It was in Emmett Till's mother. A lot of people, I know you're tired of seeing this stuff. You're tired of seeing this stuff. But you got to realize that many people credit Emmett Till's death to the rise of the civil rights movement. It was Emmett Till's death because a mother in her pain, in her grief, she chose. She said, this is going to be an open casket because I need the world to see. And because the world saw it, we grieve and others sympathize. White folks sympathize when they saw the pain. And when we can get caught up in our humanity, when we can get caught up in the reality that whether you wear a badge or whether you wear brown skin, that it all matters. So I'm going to tell you this. God has not forgotten, because he elevated. He elevated not just, he didn't just elevate Joseph. He didn't just elevate Paul and Silas. and they had to come and escort them out. So I just need to let you know, not vindication is coming, but victory is coming. A better day is coming. Peace is coming. Unity is coming. Togetherness is coming. And the United States will be united one day. And we just got to press on. Keep the faith. Keep praying. Trust God and watch him do it. Anybody believe it? I don't know about you, but the God I serve is too good to fail. And love never fails. It always wins. Somebody keep the faith. Somebody be encouraged. And join me later today out on Freedom Plaza, because we're going to see what God does in a mighty and a magnificent way. Because God is going to take us forward. God is going to promote our people. And we're not looking for a promotion to say we're better than anybody else. But this flesh we have, this air we breathe, this ground we walk on, it is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Somebody say amen. Put your hands together, please stand. I'll share with you that before any blood was shed by any of these brothers and sisters, and it was something I wanted to share with you in my final point. It's just this, I had this deck of cards that says, I love New York. I'm going to tell you why I love New York. I love New York because New York is so beautiful. They had a march. And in their march, it was filled not just with African Americans, it was filled with white folks, Latino folks, Asian folks, Indian folks, all types of folks had came together and they chanted one thing, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter too. I want you to know it. And when they do, then we can all say together, all lives matter. Amen? Amen. But before anybody's, before Emmett Till's blood hit the ground, before Trayvon Martin's blood hit the ground, before these two young men's blood hit the ground, there was a mama crying out, Black Lives Matter. She was up on Golgotha's Hill and she was watching her son being pierced in his side, watching her son hung on a cross, watching her son spat on, watching her son abused. But the good thing is the story didn't end there. And I want you to know, for us, the story doesn't end there either. Because on early Easter Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Power so that we can love in a way that people don't understand. And we can love with a love that's unexplainable. What do we have? The undeniable power of love. In one of our first series, we can exhibit the undeniable power of love. We can love individuals not based on their skin color, but just because that's what we are Christians, so we love. If you want to get connected with a God that can be with you in the midst of the most difficult times of your life, I ask that you come. That you come on down, take a preacher's hand, but most importantly, give God your heart. The reality is, we're not a perfect church. I'm here, so it's impossible for us to be perfect. But I'm a filthy rag just like you are, but we're all covered in his blood, which provides, which is God's perfection. Amen? At this time, if you want to give your life to Christ, or you want to come and join this church, we just ask that you come on down and take this preacher's hand, but give God your heart. Is it you? Is it you? Ask your neighbor, is it you? Is it you? Turn to a neighbor, ask him, is he speaking to you? Is he speaking to you? Online, while they're talking to one another, I just want you to know that if you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, email me, loveamechurch@gmail.com. Put your contact info in, and I'll pray the prayer for salvation, which I'll minister to you. And we just thank you for everybody. If you're saved, put your right hand up. If you got a church home, put the left hand up. Turn to your neighbors. They don't got both hands up. Minister to them. Say, you sure you don't want to get that squared away? We can get it squared away. We got time. We can do this. Amen. Is God speaking to you? None to be ashamed of. Amen. Let us pray. Let's hold hands across these aisles. Let's come right across here. Slide on down this row. There we go. Got the baby girl. She's like, come on across the middle. You come right across the middle. Amen. Dear Father God, we just ask for your healing. We ask for your unity. We need you to unite us. We know that you can. Help us to always keep our faith. Help us to keep our integrity. Let not a bit of hate drip into us. And the words of Martin Luther King, let no man bring you low enough that you hate. Dear Lord, help us to always exhibit love. Let you get the honor, glory, and praise out of our lives. And we just ask that you bless this body of believers and bless everybody who's tuned in and watched. And you get the praise. Move in a mighty way. Heal our nation. Heal our world. Heal our people, dear Father God. And our people are the human people. Bless and bless indeed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody said amen. 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 Give somebody a hug. Give somebody else a hug. And then give a third person a hug. Amen. Amen. Bless you.